RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
I have not gotten to talk to Tim Jenkins in a couple of weeks because of life and the holidays. Very excited to do so now. He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Tim Jenkins is T. Jenkins Elite on X. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He watches the film for us and evaluates quarterbacks. And Tim, you have gotten in my head. If you want to see Tim, by the way, you can check out Tim's office on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I've got a lot to talk to you about, Tim.
I'm fired up. Hopefully it's good, not bad. Normally when someone tells me I've got a lot to talk to you about, it follows up with a lot of grievances, you know, the airing of grievances like on Seinfeld. So hopefully that's not the case, but I'm excited.
Tim, we need to talk. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. At this point, because of what you've taught us, there were times in the last 2 to 3 games, maybe even 4, where you could split the screen in half horizontally and watch just Caleb Williams' feet, and I could see whether or not he was going to overthrow a receiver, throw the ball out of bounds, or complete the pass. And it is exactly what you illustrated. When he locks out on the front foot too much and there's not enough weight distribution to the back, it's an overthrow. There's the rollout to the right side specifically where he will throw the ball off of his back foot in midair. And that's usually an overthrow out of bounds to the right. And then there are the plays where when he is set in the pocket, and we've seen a lot more of those in the last 2 weeks, it's a completed ball. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And I think when you look at just this game specifically, I think it's interesting because it was actually one of the games where the breakdown had more, it felt like we had more bad clips to talk about, right? Whether it be, hey, he had a couple, you know, he forces one into the tight end that ends up getting tipped and then our guy gets rocked. We have the Komet force. We have a couple of just misses where it's like he's floating out of the pocket and he misses. With that being said, he paired it with like 6 or 7 greats, right? Where we're using a double cadence and getting the shot. We're, you know, holding on to, hey, give him this deep shot a chance, and he's executing it. So it was kind of an interesting one where, you know, I don't want to say it was a regression because I don't think it was a regression. I think it was more just the pace of the game. Like, I think when you're playing quarterback in a game like that, where it really felt like, it felt like the Bears were having to execute their offense, and it felt like the 49ers were on a walkthrough, right? Like, if I'm being honest, just watching it on TV, it was like, geez Louise, like, it felt like Caleb was under pressure, right? It felt like they were getting push up front. And then it felt like we were doing so many line twists from a defensive standpoint that it legitimately felt like most of the time Brock was just back there playing, you know, turkey bowl. And then the other times it's like, sure, he was elusive to a degree when he had to be. But yeah, I think a lot of the, when he was forcing the ball, I think a lot of that was based on just tempo of the game. It felt like, hey, we've got to keep up with him. The other ones, you're 100% right, right? We've had some mechanical breakdowns. I think a lot of the stuff with Caleb, and we've talked about it before on here, when you see the mechanical breakdowns, I really think they're easily addressable. Yeah. I just think no one's really felt the need to address him because he's so talented that it's been kind of like, hey, I don't want to mess him up. I do think the more that I hear Ben Johnson talk and the more I learn about him, he feels like one of those guys who nothing's going to go unaddressed. So I do feel like that's going to be a big offseason push, whether it's in OTAs or, you know, perimeter school, whenever they're going to do it. But I do feel like that's something that he will get addressed and then obviously cleaned up. It's something that, hey, we can't really speed clean that thing up going into the playoffs, but I do think he'll get that right for next year.
Well, and Tim, to that end, I think we're seeing improvement organically just with it being more unconscious. Like, you're seeing a little bit more of that, even it's not necessarily deliberate, but just in how he is comfortable. Like, I saw him step up in the pocket, you know, and I've seen that in the past few games where he will step up in the pocket. And inherently in doing so, both his feet are set. Now, I will say that it seemed like in this past game, shotgun had him with more set feet. I believe that he can run plays under center. That has never been a concern of mine. But when it comes to just looking at it from a footwork standpoint, it seemed like shotgun was where he was physically more comfortable as far as his footwork was concerned this past game.
Yeah, I think probably you're probably right in general, right? I think if you look at a kid like Caleb Williams, he's been playing in gun his whole life, right? So I think anytime he's in gun, he's going to be more comfortable. I think you're dead on, though, in terms of when he's you can tell when his feet are tied to the progression, right? You can see when it's, hey, 1-2-3 or 1-2 or, hey, I'm a clean hitch up. You can see when he does that how much more his base is underneath him and how much more efficient he is as a passer. Because he's, you know, the Loveland ball that he throws on the free play, like it's a 45, 50 air yard throw that I feel like doesn't get more than 14 feet off the ground, right? It's just an insane throw. So when you couple quality mechanics with that sort of natural ability, that's when you're going to see really special stuff. He's starting to do that more consistently on tape. So I think you're dead on. When his feet are tied to the progression, when his feet are underneath him, he is just a consistent, hey, from my chin to your chest kind of player. Then, of course, like, hey, we've got to get that more often, or hey, we've got to get in certain situations. And then, you know, operationally, there's still stuff that's left to be desired. And I don't think that falls all at the feet of Caleb Williams. That's getting the play call in. That's everybody knowing what they're doing. You know, I will say that there, if I was going to just kind of, and again, this isn't related to the question, but if I were to say there was one big takeaway from me, this was, I felt like, the most legit team that we've played that it really felt like, man, we were standing toe-to-toe with and going blow-to-blow with, you know, and again, a lot of people are going to say, well, the Niners, how many guys do they have out? But they've had those guys out for a while this year, and it was, you know, they're still whatever they are, 12 and whatever or 11 and whatever. And I do feel like this was the most we've gone toe-to-toe, giving me a ton of confidence going into the playoffs that maybe – there was still like a lingering doubt. Oh, okay, hey, you know, you beat the Packers without Jordan Love, or there's all these things you could point to. This 49ers team felt like, okay, hey, they were getting after us, and we stood toe-to-toe, and it really makes me feel kind of better about this team, especially if there's going to be a time where you've got to go on the road in the playoffs.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay per listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Tim Jenkins, the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite, joining us as he does every Tuesday at this time on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. And Tim, we had a robust conversation in the first hour of today's show. You can go and listen to it on the Odyssey app. And just click on the segment if you want to take a listen for those who are just now tuning in to hear Tim Jenkins' expert analysis. And the discussion was about this. Caleb Williams, I'm sold. He's the guy. Give him the second contract. Ben Johnson's going to work wonders with this guy. Mark Grody, not as sold. Leila Raheemi, not as sold. They're ready to punch the fifth-year option.
Yes.
But they're not sold on the second contract. I think he's the franchise quarterback who will bring big things to the Bears. Are you there yet after watching, 33 games of film of Caleb Williams? Are you there?
I love all you guys, so I'm like, I'm not sure I want to pick, you know?
No,
like
we need you to pick. You're the expert.
Hey, who do you love
I
more,
mean, a five-year you know? Commitment's pretty long these days, you know? Leads to a 10 eventually.
Here's what I'll say. And so let me talk from the quarterback perspective and not from the whether this makes sense as a GM or all the other things. Because I'm going to be honest with you, like cap stuff and all that kind of jazz, I don't know, right? What I will say is, do I think he's done? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I probably side on the give him the second contract. And the reason I say that is because the growth from week one to week 17, even if we stall, I mean, to me, I'm being honest, even if we stall out and this is as good as it's going to get, it's significantly better than most of the stuff I watch week to week when I watch across the NFL, right? Even if I'm not breaking the guys down on YouTube and just watching some of these guys, I'd be comfortable saying, hey, give him the second contract because it's still significantly better than most of the NFL. With that being said, I just don't see that happening. I see the growth continuing. Now, I'm saying that from strictly a football perspective. There's the monetary side of it of, hey, if we stall out and you pay him whatever you have to pay these guys now for quarterbacks, can you still win because you're getting rid of all these other guys? That answer is probably no, right? So to me, it's like that's where I probably feel unequipped to perfectly answer it, because what I could tell you is from, is he deserving of a second contract based on most of the stuff I turn on every week? Yeah, 100%. Is that, you know, does that fully answer the question? No, because you still have to evaluate, well, can we win minus, you know, three or four dudes that we need, and with everything we got to fill on the defense and all this other stuff. So from a franchise standpoint, it probably makes more sense to exercise that fifth year because you're probably paying significantly under the market, I would guess. I don't know how those work. But if you're paying under the market with what I think his quarterback play will be next year, you're going to be in a really good spot. And then also there's the side of it that, you know, quarterbacks are never going to be cheap. So if you can delay that second contract, it's probably advantageous because at some point you're paying these dudes a quarter to a half a billion dollars to play quarterback. And yeah, then all of a sudden you start eroding the talent around them. But from what I've seen from a quarterback play standpoint, I tell you it's, you know, it's good enough to warrant that.
Yeah, and look, we're seeing it game to game. It's right in front of us. If there ever was a fluid situation, it is Caleb Williams and watching this. And I would say from about week 12 on, just going through certain games, the three touchdown passes against the Steelers, the 28-yard pass to Cole Kmet in that Eagles game. I know that was all about the running game that day. Obviously, the 22-yard pass in the Browns game to DJ Moore was elite. The Packers game, weeks to the 46-yarder to DJ Moore. Like, we're seeing it. Like, I've gotten to the point where, yeah, for sure, it's pick up the option, and I'm not like a hard no by any means on a second contract. I just wasn't quite ready at this moment today to go there. But you mentioned the Colston Loveland catch or the throw to Colston Loveland on the free play. Was that the best play? What was the best throw of the day, touchdown or not, for Caleb Williams that you saw, Tim Jenkins?
So the Loveland throw was ridiculous. The other Loveland, I want to say it was Loveland. We call it Flutie House, where it's the sailing up. The one that he hits going up the sideline to one of it, I want to say it was Loveland, but to the tight end, that the one that he throws on the free play is great. The one where it is basically a long handoff and there's a linebacker trailing, that was the best throw of the day because it's not only great schematically from Ben to set it up, to execute that throw where that linebacker was. Most guys put a little bit of height on it. You maybe get lucky with the coming, you know, the guy's going up in the air. We get the PI. You know, maybe your guy tracks it. Most of the guys, that throws, while the play is open, quote unquote, the throw just isn't in their golf bag, right? Like there's, you guys know, you get out there, you play golf. There's certain shots, right? Oh, hey, this tree's in my way. Can I bend it around it? No, I can't, right? There's certain guys that can do different, they have different shots in their bag. Caleb has all of them. That throw to me was flat out special. So that was, I thought, the best one. You know, there were some other ones where it was just, I think if you were to say, like, man, what stood out on tape in a positive way for me was it felt like he elevated in big moments. And I know he's done that in the past, right? But it felt like, man, some of these third down conversions, fourth down conversions, it was just we consistently rose to the occasion. That was great to see, especially knowing that games are going to start to get even tighter than they are when you get to the playoffs. So that was special. But, yeah, that long handoff on Flutie House was, I mean, that was about as good as it gets.
Well, and it just goes to show, Tim, also just the yards in air. You know, we hadn't seen, I think it was the DJ Moore game-winning catch against the Packers. There was a big break when it came to Caleb Williams just throwing the deep ball of how much yards in air it was getting. The flea flicker, over 60 yards in the air. That was ridiculous at the time when you consider just the arm strength and what we talked about. He is able to throw an absolute massive deep ball in the NFL. So that may be like the next goal, you know, when I'm watching stuff. Like, do you have something in mind that you want to see more of, like what we just talked about?
Yeah, I think if I was gonna kind of say, hey, what's an area of improvement that I think is realistic this year, it would probably be to, you know, kind of shut a guy like Collinsworth up. You know what I mean? Like, Collinsworth is making it seem like this dude's missing layups all the time. And here's something I talked about on the breakdown is, it's hard for me because a lot of these things that we punish Caleb for, like the, hey, he's getting out of the pocket, this guy's wide open, right? We punish Caleb for it, but if you turn on last night's game, Matthew won't get punished for that because Matthew won't get out of the pocket. He would have taken a sack. So, like, you kind of have to evaluate these things. You know, you're grading on a curve, right? Hey, this kid, great. You know, his escapability's better. And then he gets out of the pocket and he sails a wide open guy and we want to hammer him because he, you know, we're saying he missed a layup. Simultaneously, you know, 20 out of 32 guys in the NFL, that's just a sack. So what's a more negative play? The incompletion because we sailed on the open guy or the sack? So if there was something I'd say, hey, I want to see him grow at, would be finishing those kind of plays. Because if you finish those kind of plays, you're not only separating yourself from, hey, I didn't take the sack. You're now, hey, this is a positive play on what would have been a negative play for two-thirds of the NFL. So that's kind of what I'd say. Hey, I think realistic, because honestly, I think stuff like that is just eye placement. If I'm giving you the tactical standpoint, a lot of times you see guys, they sail it high into their arm side because they're peeking at the spiral, mm-hmm. right? Like, hey, you know, their eyes are just flashing up and they're looking for the spiral. That's a lot of arm side misses. And it's so funny because it's the easiest fix. And people are like, no, there's no way that's the case. It's 100% the case with NFL guys. Like, people sometimes have a hard time grasping the full narcissism it takes to get under center. And part of that is looking at how pretty the stuff is that you do. And you peek at that spiral, that ball is going to sail high into the right. So I think if he can clean up his eye placement in scramble situations, that's really going to help. And then finishing those plays, I think, you know, will really help solidify what I think would be more or less fair grading on the kid, because I do think it's like, you know, Caleb will get out of the pocket and then he'll sail one, and I get it. We want to hammer Caleb. Meanwhile, Josh Allen, you know, he's also fading away and dirting a two-point play to win it. Like, we got to be honest about how we're evaluating these guys, because Josh and Caleb can both get out of the pocket and make that play. Meanwhile, most of the NFL just takes a sack and the play's over. And we kind of got to be honest about, like, those really aren't, you know, apples to apples comparisons.
Good point, Tim Jenkins. He always makes them. And I know his breakdown of the game from Sunday is out. You can watch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown video on his YouTube channel. It is All Things QB on YouTube. Thanks as always for the time, Tim.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Tim.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.